So tonight I want to talk about the concept or the word reality and explore what it is from the Zen perspective, from our practice perspective. So this word or concept, reality, if you just look at it, you could say it's the state of realness, or the condition of realness. One way to define it would be to say that it is what actually exists, its actuality. Now, what does that mean, actuality? One thing you can see clearly, and your Zazen exposes this, is that actuality can only be in the present moment. Actuality is nowness, you might say. What Dogen called absolute time. So reality can only be in actuality. It's what actually is. And the dictionary definition says actually exists, which is a tricky word. As I've said many times, the root of exist comes from the Latin ex, outside, is to stand. It means to stand outside. But when we really look deeply into this, and we will take this little journey into this word, we're going to begin to see that there's nothing really objective about reality. So reality is actuality. You can only find it in this moment. Now the other aspect, and there's a few aspects, but another aspect of reality is that it is personal. How strange. From a psychiatric standpoint, and you know, as a ER doctor, I studied psychiatry in medical school and deal with it on a daily basis in the ER. You might say reality is what most people agree upon as being true in that moment, and someone who disagrees with that in some very extreme manner, we say they're not in reality or they're psychotic. But we need to look very closely at what reality actually is. Is there a consensus reality? If you look very closely at it, if you were to say there is a consensus reality, in a sense, that's a very fascist way of looking at the world. Saying that the majority, or most people, or almost all people agree that things are just this particular way. And if you don't agree, you're crazy and we're going to lock you up. Or drug you up. So you can see the risk of defining reality as a consensus among people. Now, if you were to look into what we're calling a consensus of something existing in this moment, you will clearly see, and all of you will immediately get this because of the Zazen you've done, is that whatever we call reality is unique to each position of the knower. No one hears anything exactly the same way. The way they hear it, leaving aside how your ears work and your brain works, and whether or not you're deaf, because if you were deaf and you didn't hear a sound that everybody agreed was there, that doesn't make you crazy. But in your reality, there isn't a sound there. But wherever you are, the way you hear it depends upon your relationship to the sound. Exactly where you are in space. So it's unique in this way. Same with every other sensation. Now, in our zazen, at any particular moment of now, if one were to take a snapshot of what their reality is, not only is it utterly unique to you, the feeling of your body, the sensations you are experiencing, please don't move because that's distracting. Okay, you have to sit either in zazen or quietly. So, whatever this snapshot is unique, obviously. No one can enter your mind and body in your moment of zazen and know exactly what reality is for you in that moment. So, clearly, then, we can say that reality is intimate. Intimate. So, reality is found in now, and reality is intimate. What else can we say about reality? Now, is there a reality out there, independent of any knower? Now, certainly, many, many people, perhaps the majority of people, and scientists perhaps, would say, yes, there's a reality that is outside of any particular person's experience. But if you try to find that reality, you can't find it. It is undefined. This is the great, deep mystery of something that a famous physicist, Feynman, said no one understands, which is quantum physics. If something is not known, it actually exists in all possible states. So you might say that there is no particular reality there. There's a Zen koan that kind of touches upon this. I won't tell you the whole koan, but I'll remind you of it. It was the koan, is he alive or is he dead? So there was a Zen monk with his master paying respects to a follower of their particular temple who had died, was in a casket. And obviously this monk was doing some very hard zazen inquiry work, perhaps plunged in what we call the doubt sensation. What is reality? What is it? Really wanting to know. And he banged three times on the casket. And he said to the master, is he alive or is he dead? And the master said, I won't say, I won't say. Why wouldn't the master say? What is this alive or dead? And how would you know? Now, there's a famous thought experiment in quantum physics, which I'll try to make very simple, and I probably don't understand fully, but it's called Schrödinger's cat. And it actually is very similar to this koan. And the thought experiment is that you take a living cat, you put it inside a box with an apparatus that has in it a decaying radioactive substance that has a 50% chance of decaying in one way versus another way. And there are substances like this. They emit something, some spin or radiation. If it decays in one of these two ways, it will trigger an apparatus that breaks a vial of poisonous gas and the cat dies. And if it decays in the other way, it won't break the vial and the cat is alive. Now, the mystery of this Schrödinger's cat, and this is actually a quantum physics truism, conundrum, is that until you open the box, in other words, until you have some direct experience of what happened, the cat is both alive and dead simultaneously until the box is opened. You might say it's either both alive and both dead, or it's neither alive and neither dead. I won't say, I won't say. It requires an act of knowing. this intimate thing that we call knowing, for the cat's reality to declare itself, which in quantum physics is called collapsing the cloud of probability. So once again, everything that isn't real exists in a cloud of probability. It could be this way, it could be that way. You can't completely say anything about it. So anyone who says that there's a world out there that no one is directly experiencing that has a particular structure and that's reality apart from anyone's knowing is actually violating this cardinal principle of quantum physics, which is until something is known by a knowing observer, it exists in all possible states and you can't say anything absolute about it. Now, how could that be reality? Now, Zazen is about reality. Every act of observation in each moment, which is what we call mindfulness, which exposes a world of particularities, is collapsing a cloud of probability and exposing reality in that moment for the unique observer from their perspective. Whether or not anyone else agrees, experiences the same thing. So in our Zazen, we realize there is no such thing, really, as consensus reality. Now we might say, well, someone claps and we all hear the clap. Well, do we all hear the clap? Maybe it wasn't loud enough for certain people to hear it. Maybe some people's ears hear a different sound than yours. We don't know. I won't say. It's that close, that intimate. You are, in a sense, that important to reality. You yourself, uniquely, are that important to reality. You are the observer. You collapse the cloud of probability. Now let's look a little more deeply into this and how it's useful in our Zazen. In each moment of observation, of mindful observation, whether or not you're on the cushion, when you experience the form of reality, which is what dictionaries and most people describe as reality, the form of reality, which we will go into in a moment, is only half of what reality is, maybe less than half. But when you observe the form of reality, you have collapsed the cloud of probability, and things are just this in this moment and nothing else. In other words, they're done. Every moment of your experience, mindfully observed by a knowing observer who is the center of the universe at that point and who has a unique perspective on everything from their center, has collapsed the cloud of probability into just this and it can't be anything else. And because it's only in this now, it's done. Now we get this. We may get it suddenly or we may get it little by little in the prolonged, continuous, long-term practice of what I call penetrating Zazen. We begin to understand that because this is actually the case, when something is collapsed, done, just this, there's nothing we can do about it, in our Zazen at least. Our Zazen is not existing in a cloud of probability. Our everyday life certainly is. We look to the future, which is not reality, but you might say a construct that's useful. There are certain probabilities, and we need to take certain actions to make some probabilities more likely and others less likely. Or we wouldn't be here right now talking to each other. We would have been run over by a truck some many years ago. That's obvious. But in our Zazen, which is now, as we are drilling down, is actual reality, actuality. What you experience, the very, what you might call the structure of reality or the form of reality, is done in each moment, and therefore we can be utterly dispassionate about it. Now, it doesn't mean we may not feel something. It may not create a reaction. But when we really get this point, we give up a certain relationship to this particular structure of reality that we used to be very hung up on, which is clinging to something or pushing it away or trying to make it go away because we don't want it. But when we realize that it's done and dusted, as I've said before, that we've collapsed the cloud in our zazen in each moment of attentive observation, that there's no need to do anything about it, nor is there any value in doing anything about a collapsed present moment, which is what reality is. It's a collapsed present moment, moment after moment. So not only is it irrelevant, it's also futile to have this kind of reaction of clinging, rejecting, ignoring. So we begin to become not unfeeling but dispassionate about how the structure of reality unfolds in each moment of observation. And as we've previously observed, because it requires observation and because it has to be actual, it can only be in this now or absolute time or nowness. That's what we're doing in our zazen. We're entering nowness. We're intimately observing reality. Now, the last aspect of this is something that begins to expose this hidden side that dictionaries and most people don't really consider. So we've talked about what you might call the structure, sometimes in Zen texts called the subtle function of reality, the way that it appears, its particularities, the fact that the cat is alive or dead when the box is opened. It isn't both. It's one or the other. It has to be. But what is it? What is its so-called substance? What is it made of? So in our zazen, we notice, for example, that whatever this momentary concatenation of sensations in our unique, intimate moment, which you can call the structure of reality at that moment, whatever it is, it appears. It doesn't just simply exist somewhere out in the ether with no one knowing it. We already went over this. There's no ultimate reality apart from anyone's particular knowing of it. It is knowing. We oftentimes think that we are knowing something that is outside, that has a pre-existing state, and that's what we identify as reality. But reality, one side of this reality is that it is knowing. Knowing is what makes it, is what creates it, is what collapses this probability cloud into just this. It is knowing. It is of the nature of knowing. You can call this the substance of reality. Now, we actually look into this in our zazen, not necessarily early in our practice, where we may be just involved with this continuous entering of the present moment, using some observable structure, be it breath, koan, whatever it might be, counting, in order to collapse the cloud moment after moment. Develop a certain dispassion. But as we persist, we begin to see into the intimacy of these experiences that only I know it. In the Koan Mu, in the Mumon Kan, one description of the state when someone suddenly bursts into a knowledge of what this Mu actually is put this way. It's like a woman drinking water. Only she knows for herself whether it's hot or cold. That's how intimate it is. So we collapse the cloud in our mindful moment and see a particularity, the feeling in the body, the sense of coolness on the skin, the sound of a car going by, whatever it might be, that fabric of experience, that sensory fabric in each moment, which is one dimension of reality, its structure, we begin to see that it actually appears, meaning it appears to me. It appears intimately to me, which is in this present moment only. The very definition, the very essence of what you might call knowing. Knowing is appearing in my most intimate center. That is what knowing is. Now, what is so amazing, and what is a dimension of what we can call awakening or enlightenment, what we expose in our penetrating zazen, is that we can know the knowing. The knowing can know itself. There was a famous Zen master, there's a book about his letters called Zen Letters. He was the compiler of the Hekigan Roku. His name was Engo in Japanese. He called this knowing the knowing, taking the backward step. He described as taking the backward step. My teacher, Richard Clark, used to call this looking north. If you want to see the North Star, you have to turn and look north. So in the penetrating side of this zazen that starts in the present moment, that observes the collapsing cloud of probability, which is your actual sensation moment by moment, which are unique to you, and which appear, therefore, known in your deepest center, they, in a sense, are. This knowing, utterly apart from any particularities of the sensations, is real. This is real knowing, because the knowing can know itself. When we look in this direction, we take the backward step. The structure of reality, its particularities, begin to recede. And if we very deeply go into this and enter what's called samadhi, Zen practitioners have described this as the disappearance of the world. They call it the world has disappeared. If this happens with a certain awareness of that state, that is called Kensho, and there's a joyous sense of liberation and freedom from what was so oppressive before. An external world, self-existing, not dependent upon any particular observer, that was crushing you, opposing you, threatening you. This is called the human condition. So you can see how powerful this practice is if we carry it in the right direction. This penetrating zazen, taking the backward step, looking into the looking into, knowing the knowing. It's very difficult to describe to anyone how to do this, what it feels like. But in your zazen, you can know it directly. They call it turning the light of the mind back on itself. So now we've exposed a whole other dimension of reality. Now, when we come out of this state, we can perceive the structure of reality as nothing other than, absolutely nothing other than, knowing, intimate knowing. So reality is in the present moment. It's intimate, and it is of the quality or substance of knowing. And that is exactly what our zazen is pointing at. So, I think we'll end there tonight.